is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. We look at China's budget, its presentation to the Chinese Communist Party within these last hours at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. The Wall Street Journal headline by Greg Ip gives the game away. Why you shouldn't trust Chinese growth data. Subhead, anomalies in China's official statistics suggest GDP grew less last year than Beijing claims. Gordon, that's a very polite way of saying these numbers are no good. Have they always been no good, or is this a fresh development, Gordon? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. China's numbers have never been reliable. Part of it is because it's a developing economy, moving fast. It's sometimes very hard to capture output. But there has always been an element of deliberate fibbing. However, for this century, the new development really is that the fibbing has now gone crazy. And in the past, you could almost sort of say, well, I understand the trend. Right now, we are seeing numbers that have no relationship to reality. They claimed 5.2% growth last year. Maybe they had a point and a half, maybe zero. Who knows? But the gap is much too big for the international markets to accept.
Do they know, Gordon, or are they helpless like we are to know what the facts are?
They know, John. Anyone who's been living in China has understood that the economy is turned down. And you can just see it's the numbers do not correspond with daily living experiences.
We welcome Jonathan Ward, a senior fellow of the Hudson Institute, the author of Decisive Decade. Jonathan, your comment on the untrustworthy numbers identified by Greg Ip of the Wall Street Journal. I mentioned one number that I trust. Apple is showing a decline of 24%, I believe, on the iPhone and other sales in China. That's dramatic. This 5% they're mentioning as their goal, the polite way of saying is it's ambitious. What are they telling us? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, I think the main thing is to remember how Chinese economic strategy really works. When we think about the two sessions that are happening this week and Li Qiang's work report, which I think is actually very interesting. I mean, these are essentially just progress reports on the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation, on Made in China 2025, on the five-year plans. I mean, they're giving us an update to the deeper, broader, general strategies that, animate this nation and its economic place in the world. So I think some of what's very interesting here is leaving aside those sort of symbolic target numbers, such as a 5% macroeconomic growth rate. They're focused on industrial policy. They're focused on strategic industries, and they're laying out what they see as progress in many of the industries that they actually targeted successfully in the 2010s and 2000s, such as shipbuilding, such as aerospace, such as electric vehicles. Now chips is going to be a big target for them. And as we've all seen, the headlines of the world have erupted with the issue of dumping of Chinese electric vehicles on the world, with the market share they've acquired in their battery makers. So I think they have this strategy here that on one level is succeeding. And then on the macro level, they have deep problems. I mean, Li Qiang talks at the very beginning of the report about the lack of internal demand and declining external demand. I mean, these are two of the serious problems for them as an export-driven economy. He talks about fiscal policy, monetary policy. They're obviously going to try and juice the economy as much as they can, but they may be running out of options. So it's really about sheer output. I mean, that's their strategy. And that's going to present enormous problems for the Western world. And that's the battle space. I mean, that's the battle space for the USA and the West. I mean, we have to be able to beat them in global trade and in strategic industries, because they can still play that game. They can still win that game, even as they have economic problems at home.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, the work report of the premier is a very long document, as it always is. What is the most important takeaway that you saw, the thing that caught your eye?
What catches my eye, Gordon, is just how clear the target zone is. I mean, this is to me the strike zone. He talks at the very beginning really about what they're trying to do. He talks about developing core technologies in key fields, substantial progress in R&D of high-end equipment, aircraft engines, gas turbines, fourth-generation nuclear power, he names all the industries just as they've always done. And that's what our counter-strategy has to be about. He also talks a lot about advanced manufacturing. If we don't win in the West, in the USA, in Europe, in Japan, and all the rest of it, the battle for, you know, the general global industrial base, I think they're going to have a huge advantage over us in the 21st century, as I've written about in the Decisive Decade. So it's just very clear to me what the strike zone is, how our policies and strategies need to focus. And I just love how predictable they are in that sense. I mean, they really are willing to report it, willing to share it right up front every time.
Here's my puzzle.
And we don't listen. That's the problem.
My puzzle, Jonathan, two photographs, one from several years ago when Gordon taught me the phrase lot rot. Acres and acres of fossil-fueled cars with weeds growing between them. Nobody wanted, nobody was ever going to buy. I imagine by now they've junked them for parts. That was one idea, that they were going to make the world buy the same thing again and again. And I saw another photograph recently, all stacked up and ready to go, the BYD EVs for the container ships to be dumped on the world again and again. It didn't work for the old lot rot. It's not going to work for the BYDs. Is it that Beijing doesn't learn, that they're deaf, that they're stubborn, that they go back to the same old bag of tricks?
Well, I mean, I guess we haven't seen the story of BYD play out entirely. I mean, if we're able to block that out of our markets, I think that'll work. But the more that they produce, and, you know, if they're actually able to build factories in Mexico, for example, I mean, that's something I've been looking at for a long time. I mean, it's how China's essentially exporting their own supply chains into places that are not tariffed. You know, those are the sorts of battles we have to play, because, no, I think they've been very successful at global trade and very successful at strategic industries and, you know, very successful at intellectual property theft across the board. So I think their general program is, you know, operational and, you know, I mean, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal last month about China's shipyards are ready for protracted conflict. America's are not. I mean, that was part of industrial strategy going back to the 90s and early 2000s. So I think we can't underestimate this stuff. I mean, they are actually succeeding in a lot of industries, but they can only truly, you know, reach their end goals if we provide them the markets in which to commercialize their goods. So we have that ability to deny them access to Western markets, deny them access to Western capital, and deny them access to Western technology. And that's all the heart of the Decisive Decade, in my view, is those three denials will change their economic trajectory permanently, establish permanent advantages for the U.S. and for our allies, and then we win the long game in the 21st century. But we're not yet willing to do that. That's the you know, urgent part to me, is we scope everything too narrowly. You know, small garden, high fence. That just won't cut it when you're talking about you know, how Chinese strategy really works.
Gordon, 30 seconds. What happened to that lot rot crowd? Did they just get junked? Was that considered as price of doing business by the Chinese Communist Party?
Yes, a lot rot. And it's not just cars, it's bicycles, all sorts of things. They have just been left to rot. You can't recover that stuff. And basically, China's gone on to the new stuff, BYD, for instance.
So their model is to try to get ahead of the parade and then say that they always knew it was coming. That's their model.
As Jonathan said, flood the market elsewhere and then hope that they can then penetrate so far that the trend is irreversible.
Jonathan Ward is the author of Decisive Decade. He is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Rathbone.